At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it's a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us here once again on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. It's a game day edition of the HHC. We will, of course, preview tonight's game against the Indiana Pacers, the finale of what has been a phenomenal four-game homestand so far. Also going to talk about when you're looking at football teams, they tend to put the season into month-long, used to be quadrants, now it's out of 17, so 4 out of 17, I don't know what the number would be, only a math minor here, but we've been through 4 weeks of the season, for the most part a successful one. How do we grade the Hornets? Who's the star so far? Who's maybe the unsung hero of the team? And we're going to talk in general, how good is the Hornets record right now? Because I don't think 9-7 really shows how good this team has been. Helping me with all these topics, making her debut here on the Hornets Hivecast, it's Kelly Bartik. She's the sports anchor at WCCB, the CW affiliate right here in the Queen City. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Sam, thanks for having me. So glad to finally be on.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the tough things about the pandemic was I came into town and was not really given the opportunity to meet everyone. I would have loved to have met all the anchors in town and all the different people covering this team. And for the most part, we've been kept at an arm's length for about a year. But slowly but surely, we're getting into the same spaces here in Spectrum Center. And it's good to get to work alongside you and now get to have you here on the Hivecast.
Yeah, so glad. I can't wait until we will be allowed to have guests back in our building. So I would love to have you on one of our shows as soon as they let us have guests back in the building.
I would love to. Well, let's start talking about how this Hornets team has performed. Obviously, they've won four in a row. They're riding high right now, had a five-game losing streak, but you can look at the caliber of competition the Hornets faced over that stretch and where the games were played and not make excuses, but understand maybe why Charlotte didn't rip off the kind of start that, say, the Washington Wizards did playing slightly weaker competition, or the Golden State Warriors did playing predominantly at home. But 9-7, how do you see this Hornets team so far? Are they really what their record says they are, or maybe they are a little bit better or worse than a 9-17?
I like to manage expectations and optimism, but I really think this team is better than the 9-7 record. Look at some of the teams they lost to. I mean, on that West Coast trip, they kept it close. They took them to overtime, just a play or two away. This team just gets better. It seems like every time they step on the court, and I think that's what really wins matter, of course, but when you can get better even in a loss, I think that is so valuable.
In my opinion, good teams prove they're good by beating bad teams. So a squad like Washington right now, they're 10-4. They haven't played a lot of games against teams that are above 500. So that can be seen as a knock against them. I actually look at it and say, this is a Washington team that, like the Hornets, are trying to take a step up. And the first way to do that is by dominating teams that you're supposed to dominate. The teams that are at the bottom of the standings right now, you keep them down. You don't let them creep up on you. So this line of thought for me here is not a knock on teams that have not had the opportunity yet to play higher quality competition. But I think it's worth pointing out that Charlotte, in addition to being 9-7, is 5-4 against teams that are above 500. Might say that's just okay. It is. It's slightly above 500. But it's more to the point that they've already played 9 games against teams above 500. No one else in the NBA amongst the elites, the other teams that are above 500, has played that many games against similar levels of competition.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think it shows that this team can, you know, hang with anybody. I don't think any of these guys are scared. They're kind of like, bring it on. And like you mentioned, when you can beat the teams you're supposed to beat and not fall to, you know, the level of competition that you're playing, I know every team in the NBA is good, but, you know, that says a lot too. When you win the games you're supposed to win and dominate them, I think that says a lot about how this team is playing.
And some of those opportunities for the Hornets are going to be coming up. This upcoming road trip, they're going to go to Orlando again. They're a team that's struggling. They're going to play Atlanta, who I think is a very good team. They're better than their record says, but to this point, they're below 500 as we sit here recording this podcast. And the team coming in tonight, the Indiana Pacers, is also below 500. But as you look at the field, there's 14 teams as we sit here recording this that are above 500. No one's played more against that same class of competition as the Hornets. Some teams, like Golden State and Miami, they're just winning no matter who they play. The Heat are off to a great start this season. So are the Golden State Warriors. And their records are consistently good against teams above 500, as well as everyone else. So I think their records are most definitely for real. Some teams haven't had as many opportunities, so we think their winning percentage is real, but kind of like to see them prove it a little more. One example is the Phoenix Suns. They've only played 3 games against teams that are above 500. They won 2 of them. They're 11-3 overall, still a very good team, but 3 games isn't a huge sample size. You'd like to see them do it a little bit more. Similarly for the New York Knicks, 3-2 against teams above 500. That's a little bit more than half the number of games Charlotte's had to play against that caliber of competition. So not saying these are not excellent teams. I think they are, but for the sake of this argument, I'd like to see them prove it. Then there are some teams that, as I said at the start of this, good teams beat up on bad teams. Great teams can beat anyone. And I don't know if these are great teams yet. Philadelphia, solid record overall at 8-7, but they have not done very well against teams above 500. They're 2-4 against teams above 500 as we record this, 6-3 against all others. Dallas, another example, 1-4 against teams above 500. They're 8-1 against everyone else. So they're beating who they're supposed to, but they're not beating the elite teams. And then the Washington Wizards, who we just saw the other day in Charlotte, they are 1-2 against teams above 500 after their loss to the Hornets, and they are a whopping 9-2 against everyone else. So the Hornets are going to get their shots at those teams below 500, but I think there's some teams ahead of the Hornets right now in the standings or on similar rungs in the standings ladder that Charlotte, in my opinion, has proven to be better than in the first month of the season.
Yeah, it's just that the Wizards have only played 3 teams above 500.
As of their game against the Hornets, after that one wrapped up, only 3. And the schedule is what it is. We're going to look at the second half of the season. Once the calendar turns to 2022, people are going to look at the Hornets schedule and say, my gosh, that looks easy. They spend all their time at home and they've got 2 days off between every game. What the heck is going on? And forget about the fact that they played more road games and more overall games than anyone else in the NBA through the first month of the season. So it will all even out. But when you do have an advantage in the schedule, you're job to take advantage of it. Credit to Washington, they have. But the Hornets, I think, are doing better than just treading water through a very treacherous part of the calendar.
Yeah, I think you win now. I mean, you show you can win now and you carry that over into 2022. I mean, who knows what the record's going to be. Hopefully they can do that because, you know, right now they're playing great basketball.
We are officially 4 weeks through the season, taking a page from football. NFL teams love to put the season, or they did love to put the season into quadrants. We can't do that anymore. 17 game schedule. It's a little crazy. I know. Only a math minor. Math major I'd be able to figure out. The Hornets, they are now through 4 weeks of the season. Who is the star so far? Who is the unsung hero? We're going to talk about this with Kelly Bartik, sports anchor at WCCB, the CW affiliate right here in Charlotte as we roll along here on the Hornets Hivecast.
I'm not anti-aging. I'm pro looking my best. Getting cosmetic surgery at Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates has me looking young again and filled with the confidence I need to take on the day.
From Botox to rhinoplasty to facelifts, Senta offers facial plastic surgery from specially trained eye and ENT doctors who are familiar with how all parts of the face work. Feel like you once did. Schedule your appointment today at ceenta.com/appointments. Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates. They just make sense.
Sam Farber and Kelly Bartik, sports anchor at WCCB, your CW affiliate in the Queen City, here with you on the HHC, the Hornets Hivecast. And Kelly, the big news in the last few days here in Charlotte, rightfully so, has been the return of Cam Newton to the Panthers. It has really energized this community, this fan base, as they get ready for a big weekend against Washington coming up. But what, from your perspective, has been the difference now in just the mood of the city and the fan base, having a star like Cam Newton return for the Carolina Panthers and having young stars like Miles Bridges and LaMelo Ball emerge for the Charlotte Hornets?
Oh, it's an incredible time. I mean, Cam was back. He went 2 for 2 on his first 2 touches, both touchdowns. The Panthers win. They put points. They scored touchdowns, which has been, you know, hard for them to do this season, let's face it. And then you get to tune in to your broadcast and the Hornets taking on Golden State, the best team in the league, and the Hornets get the W. I mean, Sunday night was just, like, I get goosebumps right now thinking about it, just how incredible the feel and the vibe was in the city. I think fans are kind of excited, I think, and rejuvenated in the Panthers again. And, of course, Cam brings so much energy and optimism and hope for this team. And then just with the Hornets, I mean, my goodness. Fans, like the home stands, the games are so much fun, the energy, just all the guys, everybody, you don't know who's going to be the star of the game each and every night. I mean, of course, there's LaMelo, the LaMelo effect, he is a superstar. You know, people are coming, packing the place. It's fun. It's a fun time.
We are very lucky to do what we do. You almost touched on the star there, but I'm going to save it for one more question. Is there a time in your career covering sports, either here or anywhere else in your travels, that you can recall this kind of optimism? Because there's been other times there. I mean, obviously the Super Bowl run for the Panthers. Right. There's been other times where there's been a great team, but there's just something special about having a young nucleus and seeing the train start to pull out from the station. Like, it's not too late to get on the bandwagon now. I'd still say you're on the original group of fans. I don't think we handed out badges and say, hey, unless you were there when they were in last place, it doesn't count. We're still in the station. You can still get on the bandwagon here in the Queen City and be a part of this Hornets train. But is there a time that you can recall in covering sports that you saw that similar nucleus, the stew coming together the way the Hornets seem to be right now?
Yeah, this is not the 9-win season. I remember that. That was brutal. It feels like you see what they're building and it's coming to fruition, and the trajectory is just, it's just up, right? It's just going up. I feel like, yeah, this is a great time. Come on, jump on the bandwagon. There is still time. There's lots of room, like you said. I think there's a lot of optimism, and people believe. I think there's so much energy. I love all the guys they have on this team. It's such a fun team to cover.
We are 4 weeks in. Good mile marker to kind of look and evaluate how the season's gone. I think the team's made a couple adjustments. We're seeing a little bit more zone. Some things are injury-based. P.J. Washington's absence has forced the team to try and do a couple of different things. But for the most part, they've been relatively healthy. And despite a difficult schedule, 9-7 is not bad at all for the Hornets right now. So two questions for you. First one, and I'll go after you, so I'll give another player two. Who is your star of the season so far for the Charlotte Hornets through 16 games?
Well, I think it's kind of hard not to say LaMelo Ball, so I'll go with LaMelo Ball. I just think he brings so much youth and so much swagger and energy to this team and to the fan base. I mean, you never know what he's going to do. I don't know how you, I mean, you look down at notes or something, I think you might miss a call just because you never know what he's going to do. How much fun is it just to be on the call for these games when he's out there on the court?
It is the first rule of calling a LaMelo Ball game. Don't ever look down. Don't ever look down. If he is anywhere near the floor, don't look down. He will throw the ball to someone you weren't expecting. You will miss it.
It's wild.
I love the pick of LaMelo Ball. I think he has taken a huge jump. We will make sure we spread the wealth here a little bit. But I might have picked him anyways. I'm going to go with Miles Bridges. Miles has just taken this huge leap and put the NBA on notice. He is the favorite, runaway favorite maybe right now for most improved player. He's starting to get some all-star game buzz as well, and that's deserved. Last season we saw with the acquiring of Gordon Hayward, someone had to take a step back in their role. And Miles Bridges was willing to do that. He was sixth man off the bench. Didn't really see his opportunities come down. He shot the ball, relatively speaking, as much as he did before. He scored, for the most part, relatively speaking, as much as he did before. He just became a lot more efficient in both. Now, he comes into this season, he's the starting power forward, and we have seen this huge jump. His productivity has gone through the roof. His shots per game is almost doubled from a year ago, from the field, from three, from the free throw line. They are going to him early and often, and he is showing why that's a good decision. 21.3 points per game, rebounds up to 7.5 a game, good playmaker. He's averaging career best numbers in assists as well, and he has been an overwhelmingly positive player throughout the season and putting up 20, 30-point games like it's nothing. To this stage of the season, he's got 4 30-point games and I think 9 total 20 or more. He's been in double figures each and every night, very consistent. It's been impressive.
It really has. It's been so nice kind of to see him from when he was drafted just mature to the player that he is right now. You know, he's always good for the highlight. He's a dunk machine, so he's always going to have a highlight of the game. But now, like you said, yeah, he's playing great. He's playing defense. He's getting rebounds. He's such an accountable player, someone you can rely on each and every game to come through in some way and help this team. It's really fun to watch him and LaMelo play, Terry, all these guys, even new guys to the team like Oubre, just things that he's brought coming off the bench. I mean, there's just a lot of neat players on this team.
Possibly a good segue to my next question. Who's the unsung hero on this Hornets team through the first month of the season?
But I think unsung, I think you might say Kelly Oubre. Just because he's coming off the bench and he's solid, whether he is, you know, playing fantastic defense, whether he is bringing that energy in the third quarter just to get this team, you know, back on track. If they had a slow start, he can make the shots. And when he gets in the zone, man, I mean, those threes just start falling for him. He's fun to watch. He brings energy. He gets the crowd going. I love it when he blows his kisses. It's just the energy and he backs it up. And I just think it's great to have a guy like him on the team.
I love the pick. Love the pick. He would have been my first choice, too, because he has just been so efficient coming off the bench. He is shooting his best percentage from three by a long while. I think we all think of him as kind of a good three-point shooter, but he's been great. His best year prior to this was 2019-20 with Phoenix. He shot 35% from three. He's close to 40% from three right now. So he is really, it's kind of like Miles Bridges from a year ago where the numbers didn't move up. The efficiency went through the roof, and we're seeing that right now with Kelly Oubre. His scoring averages are down, quite frankly, from the last couple of years, but that's because he's got a different role. His efficiency has skyrocketed, and you see the value night in and night out. But you took Kelly Oubre, so I can't. So my unsung hero is going to be Gordon Hayward, and I might be cheating a little bit to say an unsung hero is a guy who is the highest paid player on the team and is averaging close to 18 points per game, but this guy doesn't get nearly enough love, and I think part of the reason why is because he is too darn consistent. There are some players who, when I've used this descriptor a couple of times, but when they score 20 points, they grab you by the shoulders and shake you around and say, look at me, I'm scoring 20 points right now, I'm dunking on people, I'm making threes, look at me. And Gordon Hayward, he's someone where you look at the box score at the end of the game and wonders, where the heck was Gordon Hayward? Oh, he scored 25 points again. I wonder how that happened. He's just so consistent. He's 6 points a quarter, 2 mid-range jumpers a quarter, couple of tough rebounds here and there. And when they need him to get a big bucket, he's always there and a good option. But he is just so good at being a complimentary player and a cog in the machine, if you will. It just makes them so much better. And while he's dealt with a little bit of an injury the last couple of games from what we're hearing, his ability to get north of 20 is like no one else on the team. Whether it's loud or quiet, it doesn't seem to matter. He's got 8 games, half the team's games, he has been north of 20. And just a really efficient player and a good star for what is, for the most part, still a young Hornets team.
Yeah, and I think when you have the stars like LaMelo and Bridges, he might get overlooked. And I feel bad. I need to start giving more credit, more love. Solid. And you really saw how much this team missed him last season when he was injured. Just like, oh my gosh. So, I'm knocking on wood. You know, right now, this team pretty healthy. So it's great. It's just fun to see these guys out there playing. Yeah, he's still incredible, even though he is a little banged up.
No question about it. He has been, at minimum, 25 minutes a game. He was one of the top 20 players in minutes per game going into the last one. We'll see if he is going into tonight's game. I'll rerun the numbers a little bit later, but he was top 20 in the association in minutes per game, and you put it right on the money. Gordon Hayward was the difference last year between a playoff team and, quite frankly, a bad team. When he was not playing, and there were other injuries as well, it wasn't just him, but when he didn't play, they lost two out of every three. When he did play, they were a top five team in the Eastern Conference. So it was just night and day. Gordon Hayward plays, Gordon Hayward doesn't.
Yeah, I'm glad he's playing this season.
Me too.
Even if we did miss him a few games. Yeah, it's great to have him out there.
Me too. Well, the Hornets have another game tonight. Finale of what's been a phenomenal homestand. They're going to host the Indiana Pacers. We'll preview that one next with Kelly Bartik, sports anchor at WCCB, or CW affiliate, right here in Charlotte on the Hornets Hivecast.
Hornets fans, make sure you download the Hornets app this season for an enhanced game day experience. The Hornets app is your home for the game day digital program with all the information on your favorite team and giveaways every game day. You'll also find predictive games, mobile food ordering, and even a wallet for your NFTs. Download the Hornets app today.
Kelly Bartik, sports anchor at WCCB, our CW affiliate here in the Queen City. Our guest today on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Kelly, Charlotte started the season hosting the Indiana Pacers. It was a revenge game after the awful performance in the play-in tournament to end last season. Hornets were down big at one point, but rallied, came from behind, and won 123-122 using a 33-13 third quarter, kind of reminiscent of what happened the other day against Washington, quite frankly, but using that big frame to turn things around and get a win. Pacers since then have been middling, let's put it that way. Not exactly playing the kind of basketball we were expecting with the stars like Domantas Sabonis and Miles Turner and Malcolm Brogdon on that team. 6-10 was not what we were expecting out of the gates, and they've been especially poor on the road. They now have played more road games than the Hornets have, so things are going to turn in their favor as well with the schedule later on, but this will be their 11th road game already this season tonight when the Hornets host them, and they're just 2-8 on the road so far. What's one thing that sticks out to you in this matchup that you're going to be keeping an eye on for this game?
I think the Pacers are now trying to get the revenge game right after that first game of the season. They might not have the best record on the road, but I still feel like I'm not sure who this team is. And I feel like they can't look down. They can't look down on this team. The Hornets can't, because they can come in here and do some damage, you know, if things go their way. But I think the Hornets just need to keep playing defense like they're doing. And when they're playing defense, things are, you know, they can have maybe not a perfect night shooting and still win a game.
I think that's on the money. When you look back at that season opening win over Indiana, yeah, Charlotte put 123 points on the board, and that was important, averaging better than 30 points a quarter. But really, they turned it around with that 13-point hold on Indiana, because every other quarter the Pacers offense was spectacular, better than the Hornets, quite frankly. That team put together 75 points in the first half. They were on fire, but they've got cold water thrown all over them, being held to 13 in the third quarter, and that allowed the Hornets to come back and grab that win. This is a big Pacers team. They're still, even with a substandard record from the standard they typically set, one of the better rebounding teams in the NBA. Charlotte has not been to this point, and a big part of the reason why the Pacers are so good is they've got Domantas Sabonis, who is just a vacuum cleaner on the glass. He has averaged 11 or better rebounds per game in each of the last three seasons, including this one, including the last two where he was an all-star. So Charlotte's been able to find ways to find advantages with their small ball lineup. But sometimes when you're playing a team that just has big, explosive players, those advantages are going to not be big enough to make up for the gap. And this could very well be one of those times where the Hornets centers really have to come through and shine, or else Domantas Sabonis could eat them alive.
Yes. And you're talking about small. Hopefully Terry Rozier, you know, this can be his revenge game, because he was so pumped to play the Pacers, and he didn't play opening night, correct?
That's correct. He was out with that ankle injury.
He's going to bring his energy, and they'll, you know, they can figure out a way to, they've got to get to the boards. I think that's such a huge thing. And, you know, just those second chance points also. So you never know, you know, maybe they'll put Rozier out there to be the jump ball man again. Opening set. We'll see.
That worked out well against the Warriors, that's for sure. No, I like you pointing that out because this team, even though it's only been a month's a long time, a lot's changed. Nick Richards is in the rotation now. He wasn't before, so that's another big body the Hornets can throw at the Pacers. And putting Terry Rozier back into the lineup, he was injured, of course, to start the season, it allows Kelly Oubre Jr. to go to the bench. It makes him a longer team coming off the bench. I think there's still a role for Ish Smith to play, but when you do give more minutes in that secondary unit to Kelly Oubre, you just have a longer player out there, and more length is going to make it a little bit easier, hopefully, to attack the glass against a Pacers team that just physically has advantages. I mean, you got Miles Turner and you got Domantas Sabonis. That's a big squad you got to contend with.
It really is, and I like what you said about Oubre being out there. One advantage the Hornets will have, though, they're playing at home, and they're playing so well at home. If they can just get, you know, sweep this homestand, I think it's going to be great. I hope the fans are there early and bring the energy, because you can just see, especially after last season, just how the players feed off of the crowd. And hasn't the crowd just been amazing there?
It's been phenomenal. You just can't ask for anything better than what the Hornets fans have been able to provide. They're responding to the players, and the players are in turn responding to them. And it's a good point, because after this game against Indiana, Charlotte basically spends the rest of 2021 on the road. I'm exaggerating a little, but not that much. Fortunately for me, having young kids and a wife that I would like to see every now and again, we are home on Thanksgiving. Like, physically, I will be in Charlotte for it. We are home on Christmas. Physically, I will be in Charlotte. We are home on New Year's. Basically, every other day, though, they're gone. They're playing 13 games on the road in that stretch. A lot of tough ones. So, you know, we've said it several times. The schedule's going to turn. They're going to have advantages. They're going to have home court opportunities. But you got to get wins where you can, when you can, knowing how difficult this is going to be. And tonight against the Pacers, it's one that, even though they've already won three, it's a winning homestand no matter what they do, this is one you'd like to have in your back pocket for when you go on the road and you visit Chicago or Milwaukee or Atlanta or Dallas, and, you know, things are getting tough and you're road weary and maybe you go on a losing slide at some point. It'd be nice to have an extra win under your cap, up your sleeve, if you will, to help alleviate any stress that might bring.
Yeah, get the ones you're supposed to win on your home court. You know, take care of home, take care of your court, protect your house, whatever they want to say. Defend their dirt, as the Panthers say. Yeah, and then just take that on the road, that mentality. I love how this team kind of has that underdog mentality, us against the world, and I think that's what's going to help them when they go on the road.
I like defend your dirt. I like that. How about handle your hardwood? How about that? Does that work?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
There we go. We'll see that on the news tonight. Kelly Bartik, sports anchor at WCCB, your CW affiliate here in Charlotte. You can watch her nightly, as well as their great crew over there. And Kelly, we look forward to having you again here on the Hornets Hivecast as well.
Sam, we're going to have you on Got Game one Sunday night once we can get back in the building. And I just want to compliment you. I know you came in here last season and didn't have lots of time to get with the team, but I think you jumped right in, did a fantastic job. I love listening. You're a great voice of the Hornets, and I hope people tell you that.
Well, I appreciate that very much. It means a lot coming from you, and very grateful to be here and get to work with great people like you and talk to our great fans here in the Queen City. So thanks again for coming on, and we'll have you on again soon.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in as well. A reminder, we'll have a kind of a double-dip edition of the Hornets Hivecast tomorrow, because we are on a back-to-back. So we will have a post-look back at tonight's game against the Pacers, as well as a preview of the upcoming contest tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks. That's on tomorrow's edition of the HHC. For now, for Kelly Bartik, our guest, our producer, Rob Longo, I'm Sam Farber, saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you along, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit hornets.com.